Our World, Our Stories. Unit 1. Pressure to Please. Why can't we say no? Reading. When Takashi's boss at his fast food restaurant asked him to work an extra shift to cover an absent coworker, Takashi knew he should say no. He had end-of-term exams coming up at his university, and while the extra money from his part-time job was always welcome, his studies were his main priority. He hesitated before answering, hoping his pained expression would be enough for his boss to understand his feelings. But at the same time, he also knew his boss wouldn't have asked him unless it was necessary. After all, the restaurant had to stay open no matter how short-staffed it was. Slowly, he found himself nodding his head. Sure, just one extra shift would be okay, I guess, he replied. His boss's grateful smile told him how much his sacrifice meant. Many of us have been in Takashi's situation. Whether it is being asked to work an extra shift or carry out some other task we aren't happy about doing. It is that feeling of wanting to say no, but somehow finding ourselves agreeing to it instead. Why do we find it so difficult to refuse a request? For the past 15 years, a social psychologist at Cornell University in the United States named Vanessa Bonds has been trying to find out. Her work builds on an experiment carried out in the 1970s by Ellen Langer at Harvard University. In Langer's study, participants were told to go to the university library and attempt to cut in line for the photocopier. Langer wanted to know how many people would allow someone to go in front of them. Her results were interesting. If the participant gave a reason for cutting in line, over 94% of people allowed them to go ahead, compared to 60% when the participant offered no excuse at all. The reason they gave, however, didn't have to be a good one. Even if the participant simply said they needed to make some copies, which isn't an excuse at all, people agreed to let them do it. The experiment suggested that we are willing to agree to a request with only the smallest amount of encouragement. Bond's own research confirmed Langer's results. In one experiment, she had participants approach strangers and ask them to complete a survey. The participants predicted they would have to ask at least 4 people to get a response, but in fact, it was closer to 2. In another study, they asked a stranger to walk them to a nearby gym, explaining they couldn't find it. To their surprise, they found that 1 in 2 people agreed to help, even though it meant walking away from their original route. We might interpret these results positively as a sign of basic human kindness. But in some of Bond's other studies, a darker side was seen. Participants in one study were told to approach strangers with the following request. Hi, I'm trying to play a prank on someone, but they know my handwriting. Will you write the word pickle on the page of this library book? Bonds did not expect anyone to agree to vandalize the book, but despite raising some objections, more than half the people agreed to do it. This finding was repeated in other studies when, for example, strangers were asked to falsify academic documents. Bonds drew 2 conclusions from her work. First, people are surprisingly willing to agree to a request, even if it is clearly an unethical act. And second, we tend to underestimate our power to persuade other people to do what we want. We don't think about their fear of embarrassment and assume they will be courageous enough to refuse. In reality, however, human beings are a social species, and they naturally try to avoid things that might damage their relationships with others. By refusing a request, we risk that the other person will feel humiliated, or, as they say in psychology, lose face. And so we try hard to stop that from happening. And in Bond's studies, remember, the participants were all of equal status. Refusing a request that comes from someone higher in the hierarchy, a boss or teacher, for example, is even harder. The lesson here is not necessarily that we should all be braver to say no. It is that we have to be careful how we request things of others. We need to give people room to reject things they don't want to do. It is easier, for example, to say no over email than face-to-face or over the phone. So consider approaching people in writing first. Or, if you feel it is more polite to talk face-to-face, ask for their response later rather than straight away. You can give the person a little more space to gather their thoughts, advises Bonds. Would Takashi have refused his boss's request if it had been expressed in a different way? We might never know, but getting people to do things they feel uncomfortable with is not a good way to build a positive, long-term relationship. Our power to influence people is much stronger than we assume. Summary. Have you ever agreed to a request even though you didn't really want to? If so, you are not alone. Through her studies, social psychologist Vanessa Bonds has shown that people do not like to refuse to do things. In one study, for example, 94% of people allowed someone to cut in line for the photocopier, even if the excuse given was inappropriate. In another, over half agreed to vandalize a library book, although it was clearly an unethical act. Bond says human beings try hard to make sure the other person doesn't lose face, and this makes them willing to agree to things they do not really want to do. When we make a request, therefore, we should try to express it in such a way that the other person has room to say no.